This video summarizes the book, Continence and Its Creative Power, authored by Swami Jagadishwarananda in 1943. Modern education, science, or the media will not tell you the importance of your semen, how the retention of it is intrinsically linked to unlocking one's higher self, and conversely, how the loss of our semen shortens our lives and creates unnecessary suffering for humanity. So in this video, we will explore the intricate process of semen absorption, explaining how this vital substance is meticulously generated from the nutrients we consume and subsequently absorbed into our bloodstream when it is not released. We invite you to join us in this video and see for yourself the opinions of eminent geniuses, revered gurus, and esteemed experts throughout history who fervently advocate the merits of retaining one's semen for greater purposes, and how it played in their pursuit of exceptional achievements, while emphasizing the grave repercussions of chasing pleasure and sense satisfaction. In the realm of great mystics and the preeminent idealists, those titans among the architects of the human spirit, as eloquently observed by Romain Rolland, a lifelong pacifist and a well-known writer, there exists a profound awareness, an instinctive recognition of the formidable might borne by the concentrated soul, the reservoir of creative energies which we accumulate on semen retention that emerges through the renunciation of the corporeal and psychic expenditures associated with the realm of sexuality. Even among those who tread the path of unorthodoxy in matters of faith, even the sensualists such as Beethoven, Balzac, and Flaubert, there lies an attunement to this ethereal truth. Beethoven, on a day when he had vehemently spurned the siren call of carnal passions, fervently implored, "Let me preserve it for loftier ends, for God and the exalted art of creation." Raifula Chandra Ray, a well-known chemist and educationist, when queried about his choice to marry, he replied with a gentle smile, "I have already wedded, my union solemnized with the noble science of chemistry." Zubas Bose, the illustrious patriot, when urged to contemplate marriage, candidly confessed that the pursuit of his nation's liberation consumed his entire being, leaving no room for such reflections. Plato extolled the temperance of the Greek athletes, while Mahatma Gandhi, a statue of semen retention, in self-control versus self-indulgence, attributes his mental fortitude and physical vitality to celibacy. With the humility that marked his saintly character, Gandhi divulged, "Even after 2 decades of sensual indulgence, I have reached this state. I contemplate how much more profound my vigor and enthusiasm could have been had I maintained unbroken brahmacharya throughout. I'm fully convinced that the undeviating path of brahmacharya could bestow manifold energy, physical, mental, and moral. If an imperfect brahmachari like myself has reaped such benefits, consider the miraculous empowerment of those who have unwaveringly adhered to it." Bodha, in his teachings to lay disciples, emphasized the practice of continence as the key to alleviating suffering. Lambicus, a Syrian Neoplatonic philosopher of Arab origin, professed that the gods do not heed the supplications of impurity born of sexual liaisons. Within the principles of Islam, strict celibacy is mandated during the pilgrimage to Mecca, and the Hebrew congregation upholds continence during the theophany at Sinai and before entry into the temple. In Christianity, continence served as a preparatory rite for both baptism and the Eucharist. Christian scholars and devotees alike extolled the virtues of celibacy. The Roman Catholic Church appoints celibate bishops, often selecting them from the monastic orders. Indeed, none have rendered greater service to their countries and to humanity than the continent saints and scholars, with luminaries such as St. Paul, Immanuel Kant, and Sir Isaac Newton standing as exemplars of this ethos. Echoing through the chronicles of time, Jesus Christ himself proclaimed, "And there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake." Matthew 19:12. In Ayurvedic texts, it is described that out of food chyle is manufactured. From chyle comes blood. From blood comes flesh. From flesh comes fat. From fat comes bones. From bones comes marrow. And lastly, from marrow comes semen. So semen is the finest of the seven elements of the human system. It is the essence of essences. The food we eat, the Ayurvedic physicians hold, takes 5 days to be digested and turned into chyle. Chyle takes 5 days to be converted into blood. Blood takes 5 days to become flesh. Flesh takes 5 days to become fat. Fat takes 5 days to become bone. Bone takes 5 days to become marrow, and marrow takes 5 days to become semen. The food therefore eaten by us is generally drawn into semen in the course of 35 days after digestion. The Ayurveda also mentions that semen is calm, white, cool, giver of strength, builder of body, seed of procreation, essence of the body, and the chief stay of life. As the ghee is pervasive in milk and molasses in sugarcane juice, so the semen pervades the body of the human beings. The two testes that are located in the scrotal bag are called secretory glands. The cells of the testes are endowed with the peculiar property of secreting semen from the blood, just as bees collect honey in the honeycomb drop by drop. So also the cells of the testes gather semen drop by drop from the blood. When the semen is stored in the scrotal bags and not ejaculated, it is percolated through the small pores of the bag and mixes with the blood. At that time, it looks like white cells of the blood. They are so subtle that they cannot be seen separate in the blood, even by means of the microscope. Like the white corpuscles of the blood which have the power of preventing disease, recouping wounds, cuts, bruises, and creating new flesh. This is why the longer one practices semen retention, one can retain more of this substance in the blood, and the more is one away from disease. That is why a semen retention practitioner does not fall a victim to disease, and even if he falls ill, he recovers sooner than incontinent persons. Semen, after being mixed with blood, again comes back to the testicles, and with other new materials, turns into stronger and dearer semen. In course of time, it goes to the blood again, when the blood is more vitalized. Again it comes to the testicles, and is converted into still stronger and purer semen. If the semen is not lost, it becomes gradually stronger and stronger, and strengthens the mind and body. When semen is seen through a microscope, it is found surrounded by an infinite number of protoplasmic cells like tiny tadpoles, which are nothing but albumin. This albumin strengthens the nervous system, and when it is lost, our nervous system becomes weak. What is called excitement is nothing but the agitation of the nervous system. So we should not think such thoughts or do such deeds as may in any way excite our nervous system. The Bhagavad Gita, an ancient Hindu scripture, describes the retention of semen creates the eight dhatu called ojas in our body. Ojas is what is called by the Westerners as human magnetism. Ojas is the spiritual force and true builder of personality. Ojas pervades the whole body, but lies mainly in the heart. Cheerfulness, development, and strength of the body depend on the growth of ojas. Its absence leads to death. It is the main prop of life. Enthusiasm, merit, patience, grace, and beauty, and other attributes pertaining to the body, are born of this substance called ojas. Ojas pervades the whole body and is soothing, cool, steady white, and is very conducive to the strength and development of the body. From this, it is perfectly clear that semen is the most precious substance in the human system. That is why it is said in the Shiva Samhita. In other words, retention of semen is life, its loss is death. We should therefore endeavor our level best to conserve every drop of this precious substance. Rightly, it has been said by the wise that chastity is life and continence is heaven. But sexuality is death and lust leads to hell. One student of Dhanvantari, the father of Ayurveda, approached him after completing his full course of Ayurveda, under him and said, Bhagavan, teach me the secret of health. Dhanvantari replied, Shukra, or semen, is verily Atman, the soul. The secret of health lies in preserving this vital fluid. He who wastes this energy will have no development, physical, moral, and mental. Lord Siva says, A man of unbroken continence is not a man, but a god. What is there in this world that cannot be achieved? When one preserves this jowl of semen, by whose power we have so much glory in the whole universe. Sri Ramakrishna describes these following eight kinds of sexuality that can be considered as types of relapses on semen retention or continence: thinking, hearing and talking about sex, playing with, looking at and conversing with the opposite sex in secret, attempting at and finally the performance of the sexual act. These are the eight kinds of sexuality, according to the wise. Continence, which is not doing any of these, should be practiced by those who want self-mastery. To harbor impure thoughts in the mind is a kind of incontinence. Christ rightly says, Whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath already committed adultery with her in his heart. Matthew 5:28. William Loftus Hare, a master in theosophist, in his writing at the Open Court in Chicago, in March 1926 on generation and regeneration, gave convincing arguments regarding the biological necessity of semen retention. He pointed out that the undifferentiated germ cells of the body are performing two functions simultaneously, namely, the internal reproduction or regeneration for the building up of the body and external reproduction or generation for the continuation of the species. He proves with biological facts and figures that the regenerative process is fundamental for the individual and therefore necessary and primary, whereas the generative process is due to the superfluity of cells and is therefore secondary. Both are closely dependent on nourishment, and if this be low, there is deficiency of both the processes. William Loftus Hare then adds that law of life at this level is to feed the germ cells firstly for regeneration and secondly for generation. In case of deficiency, which is a very common feature in modern men and women, regeneration must take the first place and generation be suspended. Thus we may learn the origin of the suspension of reproduction and follow it to its later phases of human continence and asceticism generally. Every moment of growth, from conception onwards, exhibits this increasing power of regeneration. If regeneration ceases or is imperfectly performed, disease or death will supervene. The nemesis of reproduction is death, and the sexual act, or the release of semen, is essentially catabolic in the male, and in the parturition of the offspring, it is catabolic for the female. Hence the insightful writer contends that virility and vitality and immunity from disease are the normal lot of nearly or quite continent persons. And a proof of this, if a rather unpleasant one, is derived from the fact that a very large number of diseases in men have been and are cured by the artificial injection of semen of debilitated persons. Patrick Geddes, a biologist and a sociologist, writes in his The Evolution of Sex that the association of reproduction and death is indeed patent enough, but connection in popular language is usually misstated. The true statement, as far as history furnishes an answer, is not that animals reproduce because they have to die, but that they die because they have to reproduce. In support of this view, Goethe, the great German thinker, says that it is not death that makes reproduction necessary, but reproduction has death as its inevitable consequence. When physical creation is stopped, the way to intellectual creation is open, and when intellectual creation is suspended, spiritual creation or religious experience is possible. Zoologists tell us continence is observed by lower animals, as for instance cattle, to a greater extent than by human beings, and this is a fact. The reason is that the cattle have perfect control over the palate, not by will, but by instinct. They subsist on mere fodder, and of this too, they take a quantity just sufficient for nutrition. Isaac J. Byberg, a Latin writer, says that the organs of generation in the animal kingdom are for the most part concealed by nature, as if they were to be ashamed of them. Khan Sahib Abdul Ghaffar, Khan of the frontier province, once remarked to Mahatma Gandhi that observance of continence was really natural to the tribesmen, who were natural semen retention practitioners outside marriage. The secret of their well-known hardiness and strength lies as much in their chaste lives as in their open-air life and invigorating climate. They marry, both men and women, after full maturity. Unfaithfulness, adultery, or unmarried love are practically unknown among them. To them, union outside wedlock is punishable by death. The injured party has the right to take the life of the wrongdoer. According to medical science, healthy sexual glands ensure physical vigor and long life. When these glands function properly, they give out an internal secretion which stimulates and strengthens the organic tissues, especially the brain cells and spinal cord. The practice of semen retention practically demonstrates that continence can keep these glands most healthy and active. Margaret Sanger, the pioneer of birth control movement in America, and Dr. McSutton, an American physician, after discussing with Sri Yogendra, the author of Yoga as Personal Hygiene, Bombay, frankly admitted that, if practicable, the yogic method of active continence is the most ideal solution of all the important questions of birth control. Mahatma Gandhi rightly says, sexual act for the purpose of carnal satisfaction is reversion to animality, and it should be therefore man's endeavor to rise above it. Man is superior to the brute in as much as he is capable of self-restraint, of which the brute is incapable. Self-indulgence cannot be the law of life, as some advocates of contraceptives hold, except to the idiots and imbeciles. Passions are never extinguished by satiation or satisfaction. If you make sense pleasure the ideal of your life, a time will come when nothing will any more please you. It is described in Adi Parva, the first book of the Mahabharata, chapter 73. Lust is never gratified by enjoyment. Enjoyment increases the passion as ghee poured upon fire increases the latter by leaps and bounds. All the corns, gold, animals, and women that are on earth cannot gratify even one mind. Give up, therefore, desires which are quenched not by enjoyment, but by elimination. Mahatma Gandhi asserts that birth control by contraceptives is race suicide. Resort to artificial methods is like putting a premium upon vice. They make men and women reckless. Self-control is the surest and only method of regulating the birth rate, because it promotes the well-being of individuals as well as of society. Experimental evidence of modern science which goes against absolute continence is correct only when celibacy is enforced on brutish people. Such people cannot eliminate sexual impulse, and so it poisons their system, deteriorates their sexual glands, and brings on premature senility. It is also true that married life led with moderation and restraint prolongs life and guarantees health. Continence or semen retention increases infinitely the power of retentiveness and remembrance. Try to gain absolute mastery over thy sexual instinct. If one succeeds in doing this, a physiological change is produced in the body by the development of a nerve known by the name Medha. Its function is to transmute lower energies into the higher. The knowledge of the higher self is gained after the formation of this Medha nerve. Sri Ramakrishna, a spiritual leader. When continence is established, infinite energy is gained. Patanjali, a Hindu author, mystic, and philosopher. When attainment of continence is the secret of all occult powers unchecked, and makes one capable of transmuting powers to others. Vyasadev, a revered sage. Those who believe that happiness is in the body and misery in whatever hinders sexual pleasure. How they become satiated with it and die of it. Blaise Pascal, a great French philosopher. To be strong, be pure. Jules Michelet, a French historian and writer. No one but imbeciles mocks at chastity. Justin Godard, a French lawyer and politician. The future is for the nations who are chaste. Thomas Mann, a German novelist and philanthropist. Spotless chastity is the best of penances. A celibate who is endowed with spotless chastity is not a human being indeed, but a god. To the celibate who conserves the semen with great efforts, what is there unattainable in this world? Sankaracharya, a space scientist and philosopher. Lust ruins life, luster, strength, vitality, memory, wealth, fame, holiness and devotion to truth. Sri Krishna or Lord Shiva. Debility of intellect, especially of the memory, characterizes the mental alienation of the licentious or the sensualists. Dr. Louis, a specialist of neurology.